Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com, February 6, 2025, and it's time for your TNA post-show. It is I, Joel Pearl. I'm stealing SP3's gimmick because he does it as I, but I am so tired, but I'm here. I'm at thejoelpearl.com on Blue Sky, at Joel Pearl on the other places you find me. With me, as always, the one, the only, the fantabulous Cresta Star. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. For those not watching in visual format, I have been addicted to trash reality TV shows. Before You Judge Me, Don't. So my outfit today is after one of the Real Housewives of New York City. She wore a towel to the reunion, so I wore a towel to work. I'm sorry, a bathrobe.
A bathrobe. So I would consider it. I used to walk around in a robe. I used to go to my university classes in a robe.
To be fair, Ric Flair showed up to work in a robe quite often.
Yeah, but, you know, he's kind of a human piece of garbage. I'm not, but I like to count, you know, I like going around in a robe. But like a thick bathrobe, not a thin robe. Those things are an affront to God.
I mean, it looks down in thin robe.
I mean, I'm Canadian, man. I got to be warm in the wintertime if I'm going to go out like that. Yes, I did wear a shirt and pants and proper clothing. But yes, I went to classes in a robe. Not for any statement. It's just because class was literally 5 minutes from where I would get up. I lived in a dorm close to campus. It was comfortable. Speaking of comfortable, leave a thumbs up on the video if you haven't already. Subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fightful Select, the best $6 in the business. I can say that now because it is official. We have gone to $6, but it's still tons of news. Hell, we dropped so much news today, including a free post on Mercedes Moné and her first independent wrestling booking since 2011. She's coming to your neck of the woods, Ms. Cresta Star. She's coming to
House of Glory.
Get ready. Probably get tickets now.
Yeah. I'm not going to do what I did with Joe Hendry last time. Nah, those tickets are probably already $200.
Get them now if you can. And also on FightfulSelect.com, the best $6 in the business. Plenty of Royal Rumble news coming out of that. Plenty of Rumble and WrestleMania news. Elimination Chambers around the corner. There's a lot to talk about. So go ahead, lock it in there. You get all the news, and it's real, and it's right. None of the aggregation, none of the stuff that gets lost in translation. It's happening on FightfulSelect.com. But for now, let's talk about TNA Impact. What do you think of this show, Cresta?
I thought, for what it was a nice, what's the best way to, like when you plant a seed, there are so many seeds that were planted, and the show itself just wasn't, okay, I'm showing you how I plant the seed. I'm seeing the seed grow in 4K speed, 5x fast. It was a really good show. I enjoyed it. I was sports entertained. What about you, Joel? How did you feel about the show?
Yeah, I think this was a really strong episode of Impact. I think a lot of what you just said about seeds being planted goes a long way, not only in keeping you invested in the show, but also the matches were really well done. And for anything that didn't look great, something kind of flipped it around. We'll talk about that in the main event. There's one particular spot that I'm sure we'll talk about when someone slipped on the ropes. But the recovery was perfect. And when that happens, I love it. And of course, we're building towards this live show in February, but we still have a few weeks of taped shows to deal with. This is one of them. And it opens up with the Joe Hendry concert. Cresta, I'm telling you, I really can't wait until Joe Hendry has a serious feud with this world championship. I love that he's out. He's doing the thing. You know, they talk about his appearance in the Royal Rumble. He was number 15, had a face-to-face with Roman Reigns before getting tossed out by Reigns. He does the We Are the Champions, but Joe Hendry's the champion. He sings the songs. He does the shtick. It's fine. And then Jake Something comes out, and he challenges Hendry, and that'll be next week for the TNA World Championship. But yeah, Hendry concert, pretty standard fare. I don't know if you have anything to add on the whole thing, but I do want your thoughts on that big meaty man going after that world championship.
I will say that my concern with the concert is that it might have overstayed its welcome. And it didn't. It was perfectly funny. It was just enough. And it was catchy. Because when he started going into real life problems, I understand. We got to touch the surface. I was like, please, no, I need escape. And then he was like, that sucks. But guess what? Joe Hendry does. I was like, yes, my guy. My guy. Jake something. Listen, this was a meaty match. This was a meaty episode. I will say that. I don't mind it. I do think, unfortunately for Jake something, this is a foregone conclusion. However, I am interested, like you said, Joe Hendry having something serious. Because even Matt Cardona is in that sweet spot of yuck, yuck, and I'm a serious deathmatch wrestler. Don't play with me. So I think Jake something has no yuck, yucks. What's funny? He has the humor of Lance Storm. What's funny to me? What's funny?
Sorry, I don't know if you
have. No, go ahead. I'm rambling.
I don't know if, because he can have the matches. We talked about this. Like, it's not even that, whether or not he has the matches. It's just that there has been no storyline reason why he's facing these people, right?
Yeah.
Matt Cardona was, Santino found him and Cardona wanted the match, so he had the match. Jake something comes out and was like, I'm sick of your shit. I'm going to take your title. So they're going to have the match. There's been no reason for Joe Hendry to put his title on the line other than I'm a babyface champion and I will put my title up on the line any single time. I'm waiting for that from Joe. That I know it's early days. We just got there from Genesis, but I feel like that's going to be the start of something with his world title, and I'm not talking about Jake.
I will say in that regard, TNA is in a very precarious position because there's a lot of world title things going on. You got Mike Santana brewing in the background. You still got Moose brewing in the background, Kazarian. So if Joe Hendry has a serious program, you got to start with these knots here. Eventually we'll get to Kazarian, but once you put him in a situation, in my humble opinion, with Santana, what you gonna do, brother? Because I want personally Joe Hendry to maintain it, but like Mike Santana is so hot right now. What are you going to do? Maybe he'll go against Moose, fight the system. But I don't know. After today, I think what Ali is doing might be the death of the system, and I'm excited for it. So I don't know.
You think it's going to be the death of the system?
I don't think they joined forces. The only reason why I think that, just to skip ahead a little bit.
Sure.
Arguing with the good hands is one thing. Recruiting Tasha Steelz, you shouldn't feel like that. No one should feel like that. Okay. Yeah. Just get some more dudes. Take out the system. I'm sick of them.
So in this hypothetical, does Ali destroy the system as the bad guy or the good guy? Does the system turn babyface in the process? Are you trying to babyface the system?
I'm not. Listen, sometimes the bad guy got to take out the bad guy. I may be a bad guy, but I'm not that guy. And it's one of those, it's a catch-20. Look at Macklin. Macklin tonight is a perfect example. Listen, I don't like Josh Alexander either, but my God, what the fuck was that? Bro, like, hey, these guys tried to kill us too. You know what? You got it. I don't want no parts of that. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know what? I don't like Ali either. So if y'all want to take each other out, okay. That's how I saw it. That's how I wouldn't be mad at a heel versus heel. That'd be fantastic because they're all good wrestlers. It'd be joke. I'd be sports entertained.
Okay. No, I'm genuinely curious as to how you got to that. And it's not, I'm not, you know, saying that in a negative way. I was curious because I hadn't thought of the system and Ali's cabinet, if it were, going up against each other. I would always figure that they would just kind of stay apart from each other and just kind of nod and wink and be like, yeah, good job beating the shit out of the other guy out there. You know, they just kind of exist. But they could go to war. There should be a dominating faction. And they should hate each other. And one should be going after all the gold. So I see a reason for it. I just never thought of it before. I like
mayhem
it.
Mayhem for all. To quote Macklin, mayhem for all.
Stop quoting him. He sucks. I hate him.
Shout out to Steve Backlund.
We'll give that time in a few minutes. Gia Miller's backstage with Masha Slamovich talking about the Knockouts Battle Royal tonight. And Cora Jade is also after Masha. And Masha says, I thrive in chaos. So whoever wins the Battle Royal, go for it. Wonderful. And then Cora, I love this last line. You draw your X's in lipstick. I draw mine in blood. I thought that was really effective. Again, we know who Masha is. We know that Cora is trying to raise up to that level. And even on commentary tonight, we'll talk about her in a minute when we get to the Knockouts Battle Royal. But even she mentioned, you know, I should be called, you call me Hard Cora, because she made allusions to what she did before her NXT run. And I told you, she did deathmatch wrestling. Now she looks Barbie doll different. I like that she's playing on her actual background. That was good stuff. But your thoughts on the Slamovich backstage?
I'm echoing everything you said. Like, my main takeaway from that, listen, you draw your X's in lipstick, I draw mine in blood. I'm like, ooh, girl, if you're someone, I went and looked back at some of Cora Jade matches, disgusted. Y'all know how I feel about that. I saw 2 seconds, I was like, nope. But if you don't, it could be like, well, this Cora Jade girl is going to get beat up. Knowing what I know now, that match is going to be disgusting. Please don't make it a hardcore match. I have better things to do. Please. I'm soft. But if it's a hardcore match, I will say, if that's your thing, that match is going to be good. I have a lot of faith in Cora Jade, the character. On commentary, she was bored. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a sec. But first, Ace Austin takes on Tyson DuPont. Big man, little man match. It's good stuff. A lot of power moves from Tyson DuPont. Someone that, like, you don't see very often in NXT, and you definitely don't get to see him in singles action. So it was nice to see that. Ace Austin is over. He's very much a crowd favorite. He gets the fold, gets the win. Post-match is the big stuff. Wesley, Tyreek, and Tyson attack Ace again. Out come the Rascals with chairs. They make the save. It's inevitable doing a six-man. When do you do it? Is that the live show on February 20th, or is this an NXT event? What do you think? And thoughts on the match with Austin and DuPont?
First things first, I told myself I'd make this joke. I saw Tyson DuPont. I was like, hello, Christ. Oh, my God. Big, meaty men slapping meat. That's my favorite part of the show. This match was literally Ace Austin looking at Tyson saying, I'm not taking that. You are big and I'm big. I'm not taking that. And there were many times where Tyson was like, but I'm going to squish you. When he gave this man, like, I don't know what it was. It's like a pump slam. I just literally said squish out loud. The post-match, it does lead to a six-man. Don't know when you do it. I was trying to think of when's the next pay-per-view. But it does make sense to do it at the live show. That would bang at the live show. That would be really, really good. And it's a good crossover with enough interconnecting storyline that I would be here for it. I do think that it should be the other littler rascal in this instead of Ace Austin. However, I do understand and I don't hate it. I understand why he's in it. And I think it's a great way to keep eyes on Ace Austin right now because he's fantastic.
There is NXT Vengeance Day. That's next weekend. It's Saturday or Sunday. I forget which day. But also, the week after that is the live show. So either or. It's kind of, you know, six and one, half dozen the other. So I don't really know who or where it makes the most sense. It's been playing out primarily on TNA. So it feels like it's going to be a TNA match.
I agree with that.
And again, Wesley is kind of taking his detour before he goes back into whatever he's supposed to do at NXT. And then I like that they're at least giving Tyson and Tyreek something to do before going after the tag titles in NXT, because that feels inevitable as well. So
I agree with that. I do like that Ace Austin got a clean win. There were no shenanigans from nobody, and there were two other dudes out there. So I do like that the finish was clean on both their parts.
Yeah, and again, I'm really happy that that they did that, because there have been a few weeks where Ace Austin has been losing matches and things have just been kind of messed up. And you're wondering, like, what are you doing with this guy? But no, a good clean win is a good clean win, and I appreciate that. Tessa says she's not in the Battle Royal because she's not a Bandeja. She says the women are supposedly threatened by her. And then she says again, I answer to no one, including questions about accountability. So that's fine. The Knockouts number one contender Battle Royal happens. The winner faces Masha next week on Impact. I thought they were going to put this on the 20th. I really thought this would be the live episode, but it's not. Cora's on commentary, and that leaves a lot to be desired, which we'll talk about in a minute. The participants, Rosemary, Ash, and Heather by Elegance, Jody Threat, Danny Luna, Savannah Evans, Lish Edwards, Zaya Brookside, Tasha Steeles, and Jazz. This ruled, Cresta. I love Jazz, have been a big fan of her for years.
Same.
And to see her come out and do this, when someone had sent me the video of her doing the entrance at the tapings, I was stoked. You might even say I was jazzed. I'm sorry I had to go there.
Not as apropos right now.
Great, great knockouts battle royal. Very simply, but very easily done. Cora Jade gets involved, does this, without getting involved. She distracts Zaya Brookside enough that Savannah Evans gets a headbutt on Brookside and wins the match. Savannah Evans gets a victory, so it'll be Evans and Slamovich next week for the Knockouts World Championship. Thoughts on the number one contendership battle royal? Lots of faces and lots of stuff going on.
Gonna start from the top. Zaya Brookside, your makeup and gear tonight was everything. Ah! That, whatever you did, 10 out of 10, I thought she was going to win that match. Tasha Steeles being out and eliminated by Alicia Edwards is nasty work. That is nasty work, and you will pay for your crimes, Alicia Edwards. But I'm also the Heather by Elegance, Ash by Elegance, under the ring spot, dragon, and ending your Jody Threat. That was sports entertainment. I personally was sports entertainment. That was funny. Savannah Evans winning, I like that. I really like that. Even if she doesn't beat Masha, I know that's going to be a run for her money, and I think it puts a spotlight back on Savannah Evans, someone who people may have forgotten about because she's been out for a while. Now, I was looking forward to Cora Jade, right? Because I had looked up her matches. But bro, when she brought on mic, she reminded me of this, my favorite drag queen, Alaska. And I thought she was doing a bit like, I'm bored. These girls suck. I have better things to do. I was like, okay, I could see it. But that's what we got. So I was like, all right, Cora, do your big one. You know, you got to wrestle.
I think her character is supposed to be that she doesn't care. But like, you got to care a little bit, at least when you're being asked questions. And also she doesn't do a lot of commentary. She doesn't cut a ton of promos. For her to be like, listen, listen, listen. Like, that's how she started a lot of her commentary moments. I feel like a little coaching goes a long way. That's why they're doing this partnership as well. So I get it. And again, I'm not going to rip on her too much because I know that she can go in the ring. I know that she spent a lot of time not being able to work in the ring. I hope that she works on promo and commentary because this wasn't her strongest. The Battle Royal itself was a lot of fun. Zaya looked great. I'm looking forward to what they do with her moving forward. We keep saying it. 2025 looks like one of the most potential big years for her. And Savannah Evans, you and I have talked about being one of those just big women to overcome, number one contenders. Doesn't matter how you get there. You got to do the match. And this is one for Masha to overcome. This is a much bigger woman than Masha Slamovich. And we're here. We're going to see it.
I think that at some point, Savannah Evans could absolutely be your Knockouts champion. And that could put like a big wrench in the, well, we want this from Masha or Tessa or even Zaya. Even, oh my God, she just came back.
Laying Lee?
Yes. I was going to say former Zaya Lee. Like, I think she... Her and Masha are such impossible tasks that if you put Savannah Evans in that mix, just like off rip, I think that's fantastic for the Knockouts division going forward, regardless.
Yeah. Again, this was another showcase of what's in the Knockouts division. Granted, there were a bunch of tag teams. They told a couple of stories in that. It looks like, once again, the Elegances will be facing Spitfire. And this will be the time where they take the titles.
Enough, Joel. Enough. I've had it with you.
Not done yet. But we'll see. Looking forward to Evans and Slamovich next week on Impact. Eric Young with Sinner and Saint calls them Canadian greatness, calls them the Northern Armory. And I'm like, wait a minute. The other guy was the Northern Armory. The other guy was Canadian greatness. What are we doing? But then Eric Young begins to put over his accolades and his dedication to TNA. And I'm like, he's not wrong. And then he's like, I'm above the world champion. I'm above the owner and the president. And I'm like, that's also not wrong because technically you're undead.
That's true. That's true.
And then he's like, I'm a great leader. And I'm like, oh shit, Violet by Design was great. He's right.
Oh, no. I thought he was bringing back Violet by Design. So I was so happy when he said Northern Armory.
And then out comes Steve Macklin. And Macklin's like, I trusted you. You're the first person in 4 years that I trusted. Because he didn't trust his wife when he was in TNA, apparently. That's my shot.
Listen, you're the one who going to see him.
That's true. You know what? I do like that he says, you know, I've never trusted anyone. The whole Macklin character has never confided in anyone. It's always been him against the world. And for him to have opened up to someone, and that someone effectively stabbed him in the back, or at least did something that was completely against the trust that he had built. There are very few characters like that. Hangman Page is the only other character in AEW that I immediately can think of that has been through that. So again, there are some characters, but Macklin's kind of doing something similar that way, and he has the background to go with it. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm starting to think Macklin just wants to fight all the Canadians, because now he wants EY. He had Josh Alexander. Sinner and Saint are Canadians. He just wants to fight people who have a Canadian passport. That's upsetting. But he says he's not with Young as long as EY is with Sinner and Saints. And then Josh Alexander comes out. They have a stare down on the rampway. And Alexander is like, listen, I'm going to face you because I love TNA. Contrary to popular belief in the last few months, I really do like this place. And I'm going to wrap up the right way. You and I are going to have a match next week. So Eric Young, Josh Alexander, one last time. That's the ball game. There was a lot in here. Some storytelling, some match setting. What did you think of this? And what the hell are we doing with these five men? Well, now it's going to be four because Josh is gone soon.
I said this at the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again. If I'm Steve Macklin, I'm like, you know what? This is ghetto. I'm leaving. I don't want any part of this because, yeah, get Josh Alexander. You could have let me in, or I would have jumped in too. But also, that's weird. Like, that's where you got it. So I agree with Josh, with Steve Macklin. As long as they're around, I'm not. Josh Alexander, the problem here is Eric Young is right. You converted these kids to being jerks, and then you're like, actually, I found God. My bad. And I'm like, no, we're part of this gang life. What you mean, gang? We're not you. We're not the standard. We're not the walking weapon. What you mean you leaving? Also, I'm here for a bald v. bald fight because Eric Young can wrestle and so can Josh Alexander. And this is about to be peak wrestling. Nowadays, two opponents are bald. I don't care if I fight your mom about it, okay? Some of the best matches I've seen, two bald people, okay? And I'm ready. I am so ready. But I don't know what about the beating up on Canadians, because TNA was built off the back of Canadians. You can not like what he said, but you know,
you got to beat up the Canadians.
Well, don't beat up the Canadians. The Canadians are the reason why. Listen, the Canadians give you a job. Stop it.
As long as they're not paying in Canadian, then it's fine. You see the dollar?
Listen, our dollar.
Yeah, it's true.
America's going through some changes right now.
Yeah. Ain't going anywhere near there anytime soon. Anyway. The Hardys and Leon Slater defeat the System. That's the team of Moose, Edward Edwards, and JDC. They mentioned JDC showing up on NXT. Did you get to see any of this, Cresta?
I saw a clip of it because someone was like, Fandango came back. I'm like, Fandango's dead. You mean JDC?
So what they did, and I loved what they did because it got me at first. As the guy who talks about TNA on Fightful, I was like, what are you doing on Tuesday when he comes out to the Fandango music and everyone's doing the thing? And he comes out and he's kind of like, oh, they still remembered me. And I'm like, is he about to like cross the stream of being JDC and Fandango? And one place he's one thing and one place he's the other. And then he's like, I'm not here as that guy. I'm here as JDC from the System. And I'm like, yeah, you goddamn right you are.
That's not funny. It's
rather that than Fandango. This is good. So he's effectively he's going after Alexis King, former Brian Pillman Jr., going for the UK Heritage Cup. It's not the UK one. It's just the NXT Heritage Cup, which now has absolutely no rules, even though it was a Heritage Cup that had British rounds rules and there was rope breaks. It was like the pure title in its own way. But for some reason, Alexis King is just like, ah, that shit's out the window. It's just a straight up wrestling match for this big, stupid cup now. I'm like, perfect to introduce JDC to this shit. Anyway.
I mean, to be fair, JDC was out here for like 3 to 6 months shooting on himself doing indie films.
And then he comes back as Fandango for one night only.
Because pro wrestling sucks, remember?
That's true. Pro wrestling is awful.
Wait, man. I hate pro wrestling.
God bless you for remembering that.
I had to really think about that. I'm like, wait, did he do this though? This is very on brand. I would never do that. Wrestling sucks. I would never go back to professional wrestling and NXT the next day. Well played, JDC. Well played.
So the match itself between the Hardys and Slater versus the System was actually fantastic. This was probably the match of the night for me. Leon Slater wearing the face paint, just like the Hardys are doing with literally all their favorites that are taking mm-hmm. with them. Everyone's just doing the face paint. I wonder if it's the Hardys pitching it to them or if it's like Ace Austin being like, guys, how about I wear face paint too? And then they're like, we'll all wear face paint. And then Leon Slater's just like, guys. How about I wear face paint too? And they're like, well, I'll wear face paint. And then I'm sure the next one who teams up in a six-man with the Hardy is going to be like, guys, I'll wear the face paint too. And they're like, we're all going to wear the face paint.
I feel like that's a rite of passage. If I got the team with the Hardys, I'm painting. If I got the team with Sting, I'm painting my face. Are you kidding me?
It's true. And they did. They did. Darby and CM Punk did it all the time. There you go. Anyway. It looks like I love that they're all having fun when they get to work together like that. I think it's really cool that the Hardys are so respected in that locker room, and also they're legends and they've affected the careers and influenced so many of the wrestlers who are in TNA that they want to work together and they want to do their shit and have fun with it. And it's great. So a solid match. We'll get into the moves itself, but really the most important thing out of all of this, more than anything, Cresta, is the revelation that Edward Edwards hasn't seen a dentist in 10 years.
Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Commentary was wild for that. But honestly, I expect that. I know it's going to be a controversial take, but these two on commentary are my favorite duo. They just be talking.
You get it. It's two dudes watching TV and talking about the match.
Very that. And I appreciate it. I truly appreciate it. Like, it's professional, but at the same time, I feel like I'm watching with my cousins. That's how it should be. That's how it should be.
And that's the way Michael Cole used to talk about it when he was trying to explain like his commentary style. But when Vince wasn't like in his ear all the time, it used to be it's three of your pals hanging out, watching wrestling and talking about it. That's the way he saw it with like Renee and working with Graves. And he was like, I just want to just chill.
Yeah.
And that's what these two guys get to do. And they do it in such a way where they tell the stories, they have fun, they take shots at each other, but like they make it organic and they make you want to like them. It's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that even when Don Callis was on commentary, he would just be that friend like, hey, I like the color blue. Blue sucks. Blue was the worst color I've ever seen. But it was It was very Gorilla Monsoon in the best possible way. You know what I mean? Yep. It's very
Jesus. You all right there, champ?
This is one of my speakers. I was trying to stop it from, I saw it falling over and I tried to rescue it and it just fell. So you know what? It's on the floor, so it can't fall again.
It's fine. You're wearing headphones, right?
Yeah, it wasn't coming through my headphones. Good. I was just like.
We got a super chat from Kylie the Gamer Princess saying, love to the TNA homies too. Well, love to you. I didn't put over super chats. I apologize. I was in another world this evening. If you want to donate a super chat, any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. If you do Humper Chats, I'm going to try to pick them up. But I'm on a computer. I'm on a laptop. It's not my typical multi-setup, so I'm discombobulated. But I'm here with y'all. So Super Chats, that's the way to go. All right. There was some really, really good offense in this particular match. I loved towards the end. They did the drop kick from JDC, the blue thunder bomb from Edwards. Moose gets the senton, down and dirty from JDC, goes from the pin, gets broken up by Jeff Hardy, and then Jeff Hardy later on gets the hot tag in. Later on, you get the plot twist from the Hardys on Moose, and then Jeff Hardy's like, go Leon Slater, go do your Swanton 450 because you made it after me. And he does it, and then Jeff does the OG Swanton bomb and gets the win. It's a good, solid, straight-up match. And man, Moose and Leon Slater are going to have a fantastic X Division Championship match when they do it. I know it.
I can't wait. But also, they bullied the hell out of Leon Slater this match. They said, tonight you will be selling. Everything must go. These walls will be bare. At one point, I hate to say it like this, but like Kofi Kingston, he got his nipple slapped off. Ooh, that man let him have it. But this match itself was good. I do say there has to be, if I'm Leon Slater, I'm over the moon wrestling with Jeff Hardy. Are you kidding me? I get to do my swanton and followed up by his swanton? Man, I've been watching wrestling for a very long time. I remember when the Hardy Boys debuted. To this day, I'm still bent. So if me personally, could work with the... He's living the dream. He's literally living the dream. I cannot wait for Moose to get beat up by this young man.
And they're going to get there, and I'm sure he's going to have to go through every member of the system individually, and then Moose will be the final boss in this case, and that's going to be a moment for Leon Slater. And he deserves that moment because he comes out, and every match is a show-out, show-off. He's good at his job. They're stock in that Leon Slater, man. Get ready. He's the dude.
Make him the youngest X Division champion since y'all kept putting it over.
Oh, it's time. Happened. You're right. They got to do that, right? Right, meow. Strike while the iron's hot.
The 20th, the live show. Oh, well, that's maybe. They could do something next week. I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. Listen, we'll talk about what's going on next week because it's a pretty loaded card. But first, Ali's backstage. You made reference to this at the top of the show. He runs into the good hands. They're arguing. And he's like, maybe you can be great hands.
That took me out. Oh, my God. I just busted out laughing. That took me out.
Saw that shit coming from a mile away, and it still made me laugh. Says if everyone's yelling, nobody's listening. He's such a manipulative piece of garbage, and I love that for him. And then he runs up to Tasha Steelz. Not runs up. He walks up. Tasha Steelz, she's sitting on a chair. She's got her head in her hand. She's crying, sniffling. He sits down next to her and says, you keep dealing with heartbreak and betrayal, and that's not fair. And then he takes her hand and was like, let's talk, effectively. So the good hands are probably going to side with Ali once again, even though Ali kicked them out once upon a time for GYV. So I don't know why the good hands would want to go back, get to there. But Tasha Steelz with working with Ali, there's something to that. And I like that because otherwise Tasha Steelz is going to be rudderless without him. I don't know if you have anything to add other than your system illusion that you had mentioned earlier.
Besides that, my immediate thought was, okay, he's going to make his own faction. Main Event Mafia. Suits the whole nine yards. Not mad at it. To me, it would make sense to help dismantle the system because you guys always in your shenanigans. And unfortunately for you, if there's one group around, since we're like, oh, there's only one group. We run the show. I don't hate it. I do question the good hands going back. But not for nothing. It's the good hands. Come on.
They go back to everyone. It's true. They just do.
Good hands, like I'm maximizing my minutes. And you know, what's in the past is where it needs to be behind us. So, you know, water under the bridge. If Eric Young can forgive the Northern Armory, who literally zip-tied Steve Macklin and tried to break your neck, then all is well that ends well. Hey, pal, hey, good.
Yeah, there it is.
Good hand. Yeah, you got it. I mean, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I would like to see where it goes, but I do think that, let's say my little theory is correct, you still need maybe one or two heavy people, and not maybe not Jake something, or maybe Jake something and Hammerstein get pushed out for they push out the good hands again.
Oh,
well, Hammerstone, not Hammerstein. Sorry, Hammerstone.
Who's Hammerstein? You talking about the Hammerstein Ballroom?
Maybe could be.
So, I mean, I don't know about Jake something. We're not going to, we'll talk about that next week when it comes up. But I don't know. I don't know who it could be that works with Ali or anyone. It could be he's putting together the cabinet, or it could just be that he's being manipulative so that when he needs to call on a favor like he does with Cardona, does it again.
But I only question it because it's like, what would you or could you gain in this, just a manipulation sense, from Tasha Seals? She is the greatest to beat the greatest, but to me, it would make sense for you to have a woman on deck just in case. And a good way to start to exact your revenge would be on Alicia Edwards. Eventually, I could see you say, Tasha, you should challenge Masha for the title to try to make this stable dripping in gold. That's my thought.
It's not a bad idea. Again, I want to see Alicia and Tasha blow off whatever they have.
Yeah.
Because the elimination, the fact that they teamed up for a while, like, there's reason to do it. I just don't know if and when they'll get there, but there's room for it.
Agreed.
Santana defeats Matt Cardona. Really, the story here was, we want Chelsea Chance.
Yo,
bless this crowd.
Part of me is like, that's so disrespectful, but then it's like, you'll go to Twitter 10 minutes later and he'll be like, I want Chelsea too.
Yeah, like, now. Those two, like, for everything you've ever said about wanting to be a pro wrestling clown, those two together are exactly that.
Power couple, power yes. Clown couple. I love them. I love them so much.
Yes, they are power clowns, and they work well together professionally. Absolutely. So that was the match. No, it was a good match. Again, Cardona knows how to work. Santana's on the rise. I cannot say enough good things about Mike Santana. It is his time. It has been his time, continues to be that way. Santana catches the radio silence. He's doing a lot of coming up from underneath work. He's very babyface in peril for this match. Does the catches radio silence, hits a buckle bomb, follows up with a frog splash, does the Eddie Guerrero pose, spin the block, gets the win. Pretty straightforward match. Cardona's in to take some losses and be high profile, but other than that, you know, just a solid big dude to work with, and he's credible. So Santana looks good winning this match.
Yeah, Matt Cardona is luckily in that sweet spot of sports entertainment and, like I said, super serious wrestler, that whether win or lose, it doesn't affect him. He has so much goodwill with the fans. And I also want to point out, Santana's rolling buck 50 always looks so clean and crisp. And that's one of my, like, that's the best one in the business, my opinion. And I just got them. I got opinions.
You're allowed to. That's what you're here for. But if anyone tells you otherwise, you just tell them to go.
Like, listen, life, everyone's got opinions. And opinions are like buttholes. And a lot of them are shitty. You know, even mine sometimes, though.
It's funny because that is the second time that someone has made a opinions are like assholes comment on a Fightful platform this week.
It's true. You can be mad, but it don't make it a fact. I stand wrestlers that you shouldn't stand. Like, Eric Young should be dead. I'm standing a ghost.
By the way, the other one to make the opinions are like assholes comment, this dude on Tuesday with Andrew Zarian on Beyond the Bell. We're also talking about X-Pac. So, you know. If you know, you know. Just go watch the show. Trust me. Next week, it's a very loaded episode of Impact. Eric Young takes on Josh Alexander. Frankie Kazarian. We didn't talk about this. I'm sorry. I forgot about this. The 23andMe with Steph DeLander and Mance Warner. They did a promo where they effectively said, hey, we are the digital media champions. And then Tom Hannifin later was like, we haven't really established that. And then Sammy Callahan is like, he goes in the back and he's looking around for them. He runs into Frankie Kazarian. Frankie Kazarian's being a dickhead, says, you know, Santino, go take care of this problem that I have with Sammy. So they've got a match. Kazarian versus Sammy Callahan next week. Zaya Brookside takes on Cora Jade coming out of the Rumble, and not the Royal Rumble, but the Battle Royal. And for the Knockouts title, Masha versus Savannah Evans. And the world title, Joe Hendry takes on Jake Something. Two big title matches next week. I'm looking forward to that.
Hell yeah. Jake Something versus Joe Hendry. Big, meaty men slap and beat.
I mean, Joe's not that like meaty. He's pretty standard.
I'll take it. Well, it's meaty enough. He's a chuck roast. We'll take it.
Oh, all right. I'll let Joe know. NXT tag titles time. Fraxium defeats the Nemeth. They retain the NXT tag titles. Very solid match. Very fun stuff. The Nemeths are the Nemeths. The best part about this whole match, once again, is commentary, and it's Ariana Grace. She, her and Cora Jade are two very different of people. And she's like, they throw to her and they're like, oh, you know, the Nemeths got this match. It's for the NXT tag titles, you know, and you had something to do with this as the NXT liaison. She's like, yes, I'm a selfless liaison. I'm a gracious queen. And I've allowed this opportunity for the Nemeths. It's perfect. And then Hannifin's like, what if they win? She's like, I don't know.
Shaking, panicking.
The acting is fantastic. I have to say, Ariana Grace continues to be... It started off with the My Best Friend act, and it has just grown from there, and it's just funny. It's just good stuff. The match is good. The match is solid. These guys know how to wrestle. Again, they're starting to remember that Ryan Nemeth, once upon a time, was in NXT as Hot Young Briley. So, there you go. Yeah, Hot Young Briley. Briley Pierce.
I also don't watch NXT, so...
This was like 10 years ago.
The last time I watched NXT, there was a purple guy who we don't talk about anymore. And,
Axiom takes out Frazier, which is pretty much the norm, but they're not going to address it because it happened in TNA. The Frazier hot tag was really good. He goes in House of Fire. I love it. Until Nick Nemeth DDTs him. Eventually she becomes Matthew Raywald's best friend as Ariana Grace, and I really, really appreciate that new bestie situation. Now Raywald has to go back to NXT one week, and I'm going to enjoy it. What? No?
Did you see on commentary when...
Oh, the tag team championship?
He was like, oh, now you mentioned it. He said, yeah, and I want my $500. So he definitely go to NXT to pay him back his $500.
I love it. If everyone who's ever worked for a WWE just shows up, it's perfect.
Honestly.
Jeremy and I in the weeds, we pitched the NXT invasion where it's all the TNA talent come in to NXT, and it turns out it's just all WWE guys and Joe Hendry. And they all walk in, and Joe Hendry's like, wait a minute. Something feels weird here. And then he's like, none of you are champions like I am. And he just plays stupid.
That'd be very Joe Hendry. He's like, you know what? This calls for a song, and pulls out a guitar from nowhere. Like, what the hell is this?
Wrong place, Hendry. Put it away.
They tried that with a gentleman named Elias. It didn't go so well.
No, now he's walking on the other show. Frazier eats a super kick after slipping on the ropes. And this is what I was talking about at the top of the show. Kudos to Nick Nemeth and for Nathan Frazier for calling the audible, the quick thinking. He slipped in coming in off top rope and instead landed, got up, ate a super kick. They do a double knick-knack ry-rack, and that is a near fall. And then Frazier superplex into the golden ratio. Brainbuster gets broken up by Nick Nemeth. Finally, Ryan Nemeth gets a chair. Nick Nemeth is like, no, what are you doing with the chair? Go away. Daniel Spencer was the referee. Surprised he didn't get distracted by this, because then we would have new tag champions. Frazier dropped. Pardon?
I said, that's crazy. Daniel Spencer's even in the chat. Stand up for yourself. Don't let this man beat you up.
No chance. No chance. Take it up with management. Frazier dropped. Wow. Frazier drop kicks Nick out of the ring. Axiom hits the high-low finish. They retain the tag titles. And Ariana Grace is very excited for that. Again, she was the standout of this match. It was a solid match. It was a very good tag title match. the outcome was never in doubt, but the wrestling was very wrestlicious. Not the company, but the idea that wrestling can be very... Anyway, your thoughts on the match?
His match was good. Ariana Grace on commentary was a pure highlight. Oh boy, Ryan Nemeth, you are cruising for a bruising young man. I don't know. Him getting the chair was unnecessary. The ending shot of Nick Nemeth sitting there like, I have a little brother. That's the look of I have to beat up my little brother because you're dragging it. I could ignore those other things, but you come into my interviews, booking us matches. Yeah, you got, I know I have to beat, and I don't want to beat you up, but I'm gonna have to beat you up. That's the look of a disappointed older brother. Yikes, 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 yikes. Also, that's going to be a funny match. Why, big brother? Why are you doing this, big brother?
I'm wondering if this is Ryan Nemeth takes on Nick Nemeth, like he gets the upper hand and that's what makes the match. And Nick is like, no, I'm not going to face you until he has to. Or if Nick just snaps and he's like, oh, screw you. You've been a dick this whole time. I'm beat your ass. I feel like it's the other way around. I feel like Nick is going to, you know, get blindsided by Ryan and then they're going to have a match and it'll be fine. Like they've always wanted to fight each other in the ring. So let it happen. And then JBL is going to get involved and nothing will come of that.
I mean, maybe he could challenge JBL. Maybe you fight, team up with, I don't know. What is JBL doing again? Was that ever explained or am I asking too many questions?
No, he's doing it to get himself a pop at this point. There is no story.
I heard somebody else say that. It's like, he's doing it. JBL doing it because he wants to walk tall. That's why.
And again, he shows up in his stupid long-ass duster and his cowboy hat in 1 week, and then he shows up on Monday Night Raw with the full suit and tie and the, yeah, and it's just, he's JBL again. But
it's not a duster because in the back it's a crop top, so I'm confused. It's long on it. It's like a jacket chat.
I'm talking about the jacket itself.
But yeah, but like, in the back is mad high on the sides is long. Like,
oh, no, that's just a slit. That's just a vent. That's normal. You don't wear men's jackets. I get it. It's fine.
Yeah, you know what? In this moment, I'm Steve Macklin. You got it. Don't explain no more. Don't tell me nothing else.
It's a long-ass jacket, and he shows up in it, and people are just like, oh, it's JBL. And we're just like, oh, shit, it's JBL.
At this point, just play the Walker Texas music when you come out. Bow, bow, da,
down, down, down. And that is TNA for February 6th, 2025. Chris, what you got going on? Tell them,
ladies and gentlemen. I've said this on my streams, and I'm excited to say it here to all of you here. But my podcast is coming out this Sunday, so please go to my YouTube, Chris the Star at YouTube. It's going to be called Slap Grapple Pop, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. Yes. Besides that, you can find me on all forms of social media at Cresta Star, CrestaStarr. And everywhere except Twitter, because that's Cresta the Star. I talk wrestling. I stream live on Wednesdays, AEW Dynamite, sometimes on Monday as well, over on twitch.tv/CrestaStar. I am so excited to hang out with you guys. Again, Cresta Star anywhere, and I'm here Thursdays and Saturdays. My brain turned off mid-sentence. So, Joe Pearl, where can they find you?
First of all, congratulations on this new venture, on this new podcast. Everyone go check it out. Grab Snapple Pop. What was that? No, Snap Grapple Pop.
Grapple Pop.
Slap Grapple Pop. Snap Crackle Pop. No, that's a gimmick. That's infringement. That's
gimmick infringement, brother.
Can't do that one. go check it out. It's on Cresta's YouTube channel, like she said. Please, please, please. Wonderful, funny. It's going to be good. I know it. You know it. As for me, I'm in the weeds Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But guess what? In the Weeds is now a 5 day a week show. And the guy who does the ROH show, SP3, he does Tuesdays and Thursdays. So Jeremy Lambert's holding it down 5 days. I'm hosting Monday, Wednesday, Friday. SP3 joins in Tuesday, Thursdays. Go check that out. That's over on our sister channel, Fightful Overbooked. Head over to youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked or FightfulOverbooked.com. We're here every Thursday talking about TNA Impact. No Daniel Spencer. No one talked to you. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's all good. And finally, I'm at Joel Pearl or at thejoelpearl.com on the Blue Sky Machine. For Cresta Star, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.